This is a repeat of the Scott Williams Show. Dublin's Q102. Phone and text lines are now closed. The Scott Williams Show.
The way it is in Dublin.
Now, last week, Yvonne had the kitchen saga. In May last year, she chose a kitchen from a reputable designer kitchen company, as we learned. Visited the showroom. The plans were drawn up. She was given a quote of €7,060. On top of that, she was told she would have an additional cost with the granite, the integrated appliances, etc., etc. Take 3 days to fit, said they, and she had to pay up front just under €4,000. 2 days later, she was told that she had to pay €5,680. They'd made a mistake about the deposit. And then there was the boiler. And it was such an involved story, we brought you back, Yvonne. It was such a complicated case, we couldn't get our heads around it last week.
So I know, I'm still having difficulty getting my head around it's something I'm dealing with every day.
Right, let me work through the facts here. So, the original quote, 7060.
Yes.
Okay. 3 days to fit that now, Mrs. If you want granite and appliances, that's extra. We understand all of that.
Yeah.
A deposit of 3925 up front. 2 days later, oh, I'm very sorry, we need 5680 up front.
Yeah. So, you know, looking back, you can... To me, it seems that the staff weren't on the same page. Somebody made a mistake somewhere. I mean, but that went on and on and on as the time went on, that the kitchen was being fitted. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, now, I just want to be clear about this as well. So you gave them the 5680, did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and work starts?
And work started, yeah.
How long did it take to finish it? 2 days, is it?
No, it actually took... we were looking more on 10 days.
10 days?
Without a kitchen, yeah.
Right, you're 10 days out of kitchen. And then, and this is the bit that really alarmed us, is it correct that your kitchen has been installed around your boiler and you now have no boiler access for service?
Yes, that's correct. And the boiler was due for service last October. And to date, it still hasn't been serviced because of this problem, because the kitchen is fitted around it in a way that the front of the boiler can't slide off, so they can't get access to it.
Dermot.
Okay, Yvonne, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Darren.
Okay, let's start from where it all would kick off. You every time you as a consumer, in this case, you entered into a contract.
Yes.
So the terms of the contract were made very, very clear, and you agreed to them, and you did as you were asked and told, if you like, and you paid your deposits.
Yes,
I just want to touch on two things. One, I do know that there's an element... of dispute in relation to a small amount that's outstanding of €227.
That's
am I right in saying that's because there was a piece, if you like, that they said, oh, we didn't charge you for that, we were adding this on.
That was after the kitchen was fitted.
Absolutely. But it had been included in the original
plans,
exactly.
Yeah.
So the point I'm making here, I know there's been all sorts of grief in relation to that, but the point that they need to be made aware of is that you had a contract now, and a price was agreed, an all-in price. It's acknowledged that on occasion people can make mistakes, but they should have come to you before you were sent a bill and made the point to you, we made a mistake. We've added on a figure that was not included originally. Is that okay? They also had the opportunity to say to you, before we fit this, we need to explain to you we've made a mistake, and is this okay? It's going to cost you more. Because the reality is, you might not have had the money. It's that simple. And that needs to be explained to them first off.
Right, so that's on the bill.
That's on the bill. Yeah. So that's the bill
what
part
about the boiler?
Of the way. In relation to the boiler, this is where we come to the Sale of Goods and Supply of Services Act. Anybody providing a service, and particularly at this high level, is required and expected under law to have the professional capacity and capability of doing just that. And this is an abysmal failure there.
Able to do the job, Dermot.
Yes,
yeah?
not build around a boiler, which requires serious access to. And I mean, it's arguably dangerous that you cannot access your boiler.
It's not even safe.
Yes, exactly. So there's a problem there, a very serious problem.
So what, did your boiler need to be moved then, Yvonne? Is that really what was needed?
If it was to be moved, it only needs to be moved about 2 inches.
Right.
Now, I did call into a Dublin Gas fitter store today, and I discussed the problem with this crowd, and I asked them, how much would it cost to move it? And he said, a couple of €100. So I was thinking whether or not I should be going back to this crowd and say, well, rather than, because if they've to move the kitchen, they're going to interfere with the wall tiles, everything's, you know, and it's going to cause a huge major disruption in the kitchen.
Yes.
The simplest thing probably will be to move the boiler the 2 inches.
Right. What about this, Dermot? What if Yvonne and these guys split it between them, 100 each, to move the boiler?
Yes, that would make some element of good sense. And if they don't accept that, I have to be honest with you, they're crazy.
Yeah.
They really, really are. How do you feel about that, Yvonne?
Well, that to me seems the simple solution, and it only actually dawned on me today when I was in speaking in the gas company. The easiest thing, I think, would be is to move the boiler maybe the 2 inches down the wall.
Well, that's our suggestion to you, Yvonne, is you go back to these guys and you say, look, I spoke to the people who know about these things. It's 200 quid to move it. I think we split it between us.
And all bets are off.
And get on with our lives.
Yes. It's well worth trying that.
But you'd also, though, want it written down that it wouldn't in any way undermine or implicate on the kitchen guarantee which you were given.
Yes.
Well, at the moment, as I said, they actually wrote to me. They never acknowledged my letter outlining the problem with the boiler, which I sent to them last August. Mm. But in April this year, they did write to me and they more or less told me that the warranty had been suspended on my kitchen. And it was like a scaremongering letter saying, in the event you have floods, leaks, anything, we will not be attending to it until you pay this €227. But I just feel they made a mistake from the outset. I mean, the handles in my kitchen are unmatching because they made a mistake on that.
But you also have to reasonably bond. If a mistake was made, a mistake was made.
Mm.
You know, that's reasonable.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it does reasonably need to be rectified.
Yeah, reasonably.
Remedied.
Yes. In fact, why don't you put the 227 and the €200 to move the boiler? That's 427. Split it. Split it with them.
Right. Okie doke.
Because I'm worried about you, Yvonne. This stress is not good for you.
Oh, no.
So my advice to you is to go to those guys and put that deal down in front of them and say, that'd be fantastic if they accepted. You could be back on here next Monday and we tell everybody in Dublin what reasonably good people they actually are.
Right, okay.
This is it.
Is that fair enough?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
That's perfect. Wonderful.
Thanks a million.
You're very welcome, Eva.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
850-6597 is the number and we're doing consumer queries. And John's in Clondalkin. Hello, John.
Scott, good evening to you.
Now, you had a health check and a car wash on the car last week.
Yes.
And what, your wife got a voucher on?
Of €5.
And where did she get this?
She got it off the internet, one of these board deals.
So she avails of a board deal and gets a voucher?
Yeah.
Okay, and what, the voucher entitled you to a health check and a car wash?
The health check and a car wash for €5.
Right. Can I ask you, what's involved in a health check on a car, according to these people?
A health check is similar to the NCT.
Uh-huh.
And a car wash, and it's a visual check of the car, and basically just a check over to see if there's anything wearing or anything.
Okay. So somebody just gives it the once over.
Yeah.
So you went in anyway, and an hour and 10 minutes later, your car was through, and they gave you a health report. What did that say?
The health report was similar to the NCT. The tyres were checked, lights, engine exhaust, and so on. And a full printout of everything that may need attention in the future.
All for a fiver?
All for a fiver. Down the bottom of the health check, however, there's a section that covers the clutch and the brakes, etc., and there's no entry at all in it. But down the bottom of the A4 sheet, handwritten, it said clutch €880.
Clutch €880.
Yeah.
Well, had they replaced the clutch?
No, it was just brought to the attention that the clutch, you know, it's possible that the clutch is wearing.
Might be needing attention down the line. Yeah.
Attention. I left the garage, drove 3 miles, and broke down in the middle of the road in rush hour traffic. Clutch burnt out, car wouldn't restart.
Nasty.
So, I rang the garage back, I spoke to the person who had taken the keys. He told me that they'd tow me back and replace the clutch for €880. And I asked, did he think I came down in the last shower? And I asked, could he tow me home? And he said, for €60, there or thereabouts.
And bring you home, right?
Yeah. When I complained and said, you know, I thought it was very suspicious that the clutch should go within 15 minutes of leaving his garage.
Yeah.
I was told that he wasn't in a position to discuss it, that I'd have to speak to the manager. And
John, are you suggesting your clutch was tampered with?
No. What I'm actually saying, Scott, because I don't want to get into... I am trying to take it further. But what I was hoping was that had anyone been as misfortunate as I had...
Ah, now there's a good... Dermot, has anybody ever been as misfortunate as John that 15 minutes after being told clutch 880... go down the road and boom, clutch burn. Had you noticed any smelling of burning clutch plate in the days before?
No. Nothing, Scott. Absolutely nothing. Yeah. I had driven the previous day. We had been in North County Dublin, Wicklow, Wexford, Waterford.
And not a bother.
And that morning I had driven to Kildare and then straight back into the garage. Mm. No problems.
And what's on the clutch cable now? This is the actual clutch.
No, it's the actual clutch. Now, I had to have the car towed to the garage where I normally have it serviced, and the mechanic said he couldn't say which came first, the chicken or the egg. The linkage going to the clutch was bent.
Right.
But he cannot say whether that happened after the clutch collapsed or was the cause of the clutch collapsing.
Dermot.
You see, the difficulty here, John, is the only way that you can get a definitive, I suppose, analysis of that is if you go for an independent assessment of the clutch and the car, and that will cost you quite a bit of money. Now you're looking at easily 300-400 euro.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, that's why you need to think long and hard of any element or anything that might have happened to have caused that bending. I mean, I don't know what would cause that, but as you say, your garage friend, whilst he doesn't know when it happened, he might be able to tell you how it happened.
Yeah, I have actually been in touch with the car manufacturer, Dermot.
Right.
And it's rare. It's so rare that it took the garage where I left the car, it took them 4 days to actually get the part.
Wow. Okay, and can I ask you this? Is this an old car or a newish car? How old is it?
It's 02. It's right. 9 years old. There's nearly 100,000 miles on it, but
right,
there's never been.
Regularly serviced, yeah?
Yeah. And never a problem.
Never a problem.
I was just wondering, Scott, if any of your listeners have had similar problems with similar vouchers.
All I can do, John, is throw the question out there. God, it's a terrible tale of woe. Hope you get yourself back on the road, John.
Yeah.
We'll be in touch. Thanks very much, John.
Excellent. Thanks again.
John at Lindor. Have you been similarly unlucky with voucher for anything ever like that? If you are, do please get in touch with us. The number is 850-6597 or text me 57102 for just 20 cent. Greetings on by email, Dermot. I love that.
Excellent.
Greetings. Several Irish companies and indeed state agencies offer 1-800, 1-850 and 1-890 telephone numbers to facilitate and make it cheaper for customers to contact them. 'Twas recently come to my attention that these telephone numbers are charged at premium rates from mobile phones, but lower rates from landlines. And given the increasing numbers of people who no longer use landlines, would it be possible to highlight the problem and request companies and state agencies provide a national telephone number in addition to the 18XX number on their literature and websites? If this were done, mobile customers will be facilitated in avoiding unnecessary premium charges when contacting these companies and state agencies. I am not sure if I'm addressing my suggestion to the appropriate authority. Well, you're not, because we have no say whatsoever in the matter. But you might suggest where it might be addressed. Thanks and best regards, Sean McDonald. Well, thank you, Sean. I'm sure Dermot Jewell has a thought on this.
Yeah, I mean, it's come up before, and it's a point well made.
Well, it's a carryover from the days of the landline.
Absolutely.
And those days are over.
And trying to find a solution to this is a matter for all of the providers to agree upon. Now, we're fortunate to a degree that, funnily enough, if you like, we have fewer providers than a lot of other countries. So, the best
but
way of it, starting this...
The thing is, isn't it the case that if you have a number of a 1-850 number, that behind that there is an 01 number,
yes,
a good old-fashioned Dublin
basic
fund.
Down-to-earth number, yeah. Yes. And anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
So where should Sean go? Comreg?
Well, make the point to Comreg, because Comreg have the ear of all of the providers, yeah, and they could start it, certainly their consumer division. Yeah. And
it also sounds, Sean, like the sort of thing that really your TD should be looking at. I mean, why should they be happy? You gave them your vote.
Absolutely.
So contact the local TD as well.
Yes, and try to see what can be done there. Well, anyway, the more the merrier.
Okay, let us know how you get on with that one, Sean. 850-6597 is the number. Dermot Jewell here in studio. Dermot's the Chief Executive of Consumers Association of Ireland. This is Pauline. Hello, Pauline.
Good evening, Scott. How are you?
I'm grand now. We're not talking about cars anymore, Dermot. We have now moved to television.
Oh, right.
Pauline joined Sky in 2009 and never missed a payment. The bills are in our name and her name only. Isn't that right, Pauline? Just
that's
your
right
name, and you paid the bill. In I November do last, she started receiving bills in the name of Mr. C. Byrne. They were for an unpaid bill of €76. When she rang the Sky Customer Service Centre and explained that they had the wrong name, they confirmed that the account for her house was paid up to date. So in other words, you gave your details, Pauline, and said, Pauline, you are perfectly up to date. No problem.
Yes.
Okay. So what happened then?
Well, the letters kept coming for the overdue account, and each time I rang Sky, the lovely Sky, and their customer service. Now, in fairness to the customer service agent, they were fine, but their hands are tied. They can do absolutely nothing. Now, the first customer service agent was, I think the actual contact centre was in abroad. So,
well, for Sky,
it's in
Lanarkshire in Scotland, apparently.
No, they're all over the place. The first one was, I think it was India or somewhere like that.
No, Sky's not in India, Pauline, no.
No, the contact centre.
The contact centre.
It was a contact centre with foreign people speaking.
For Sky?
For Sky. The girl's name was Fatima.
Fatima.
That I spoke to first.
Yeah.
And because we had difficulty...
Now, you see, I'm sorry, Paul, this is really important now. So, where do you believe your call was terminating? Do you think it was in India?
Well, from her manager as well, his name was Misha.
Yeah.
And, possibly I assumed, then I will just say I assumed.
Yeah.
The difficulty, yeah, right?
Okay.
So, the information, I gave him my account number, and I gave him the account number that is on the overdue bill. And he confirmed that the direct debit was being paid by a Mr. D. Richardson. And he had an account with them since 2006.
Mm-hmm.
But he apologised, and I asked, could he just do it in writing, say my account was up to date and I had nothing to do with this account. And everything, oh yes, absolutely, madam, this, that and the other. It was never a letter arrived. So I just put it on the back burner. As I said, I started it kind of in December. Christmas came and so forth and so on. So January came, I got another letter asking for the same money. Rang up Sky again. This time I got Cork. Lad in Cork named Ryan.
Yep.
And I asked him to look at the notes in the file to confirm that I had been speaking with Misha and Fatima, and he said there was no note on the file. So I went through the whole business.
Yeah, but could he confirm your account was up to date?
No.
No.
He just said, with the account that I gave him, he said, well, there's two accounts for the same address. One is up to date and the other one isn't.
Hmm.
So I pointed out that the surname was spelt differently as well. Mine is B-Y-R-N-E and this is B-R-Y-N-E.
Brian, yeah.
So I explained that now. Unfortunately, my husband's first name is Cormac.
Hmm.
So they had the C part right.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, Pauline, you know, you and your husband have an account with Sky, which is perfectly up to date, and you pay your bills.
Yeah.
And these guys are insisting that somebody else does another account at your house. Well, you know, question is this. If there is another account, where is the dish and receiver for this other account? What's
that
the
was my question.
Yeah, where is the equipment?
Yeah. The response I got was, well, I said, you can come out of the house. I said, your installers installed this. And you can come out and view it, and like this After getting threatening letters, they sent a bill to a debt collecting agency as well, who was going to come out to my job or to my door if I didn't pay this money. This was 3-4 months after the initial start of it all. And eventually I got a call centre in Scotland who were actually helpful, but still there was no notes in the file to any call that I ever made, although I kept note of names and times and everything that I had phoned them. But the only time was in Scotland when a lad named Anthony got his team leader to talk to me, and finally I got an address. You cannot make a complaint on the phone to a customer service agent. They cannot carry it, and they've nowhere else, nowhere to put it. Anything that a customer needs to do as regards a complaint has to be done in writing.
In writing. Dermot here. Now, it's just we want to ask you something. You joined Sky in 2009, Pauline.
Yes.
What did you do for television before you joined Sky?
I had NTL.
You had NTL.
Yes.
And was that in your husband's name?
No, the bills are always in my name. Everything is in my name.
Okay, so your husband never had television in his name?
No, I do all the bills. It's something that I've always done. Everything
right.
is in
Very
my
good.
Name.
Okay, and Sky can't give you an account number. I mean, all I'd say about these things is that, for example, if you don't pay your bill, Sky are very proactive. They'll talk to you. They'll let you know. They'll tell you they're going to cut you off. The credit control seems to be very up to speed, Dermot, and all these kind of things.
Yes.
But, I mean, they're able to track all these things. They are able, my understanding is, Pauline, they're able to track the receiver and the card, the viewing card, back to the account number. They're able to turn them off remotely over the air. So why don't you ask them, where is this C. Brine's
receiver?
Receiver.
Yeah.
I did ask them that, and they said I had no right to know.
Sorry, we're not laughing. That's unbelievable, Pauline.
Okay.
That was confidential. It was none of my business.
All right, then. What are we doing, Dermot?
Well, realistically, at this stage,
what does Pauline's letter say? Dear Sky.
Well, I only wrote you a short bit. I wrote a 2-page letter to the complaints department, but eventually I got a customer service agent eventually from Scotland, and she told me that I should be very thankful and lucky that she was taking it upon herself to believe that this other person wasn't living in a cubbyhole in my house with Sky television
set up.
And I should be grateful for that.
Where's the dish on the receiver? Yeah. Anyway, what about this, Dermot? Pauline does this. Dear Sky, I refer to the matter above. Please desist from sending me any more demands or mail generally, as I would consider same to be unsolicited. My
affairs. But can I tell you what the last thing they've done?
What?
They have sent me now over the last 6-7 weeks to Mr. C. Burney. Please come back to us. We'll give you half price this.
Oh, nice.
We'll give you Sky Sports. We will give you X amount, and I'm still getting the letters for him, even though.
Well, of course, Dermot, Pauline can get her husband to ring up and say, I'm C. Briney, and I've got a letter here to come back to Sky. So C. Briney has left Sky.
This is it.
Yeah.
They didn't even apologise. They said I didn't demand an apology.
Yeah, but Pauline, would you not just write to them and say, don't send me any more bills, I don't owe them, and I'll set the dogs on you. What about that, Dermot?
No, I would, at this stage, in all honesty, Pauline, you have your account, you've paid it religiously and very well, and all I would do is I would make one letter and register it, and I would send it to Sky, and I would send a copy of it to the regulator, Comreg, and I would simply say, enclosed bill, in other words, the next bill or threatening letter, whatever you get, send it back to them saying, not at this address. We've explained this on numerous occasions, and if you persist, then we will see you in court.
Now, you got that?
Fair enough, it's
that simple. And when you go into court, a judge will not believe that they will do this to you. It's unbelievable. But it's the only way of making them desist.
Well, you tell Fatima and all the other people that you spoke to now, Pauline, that's it. We're wasting no more time on this. You say, stop writing to me, I don't owe you.
Will do.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Have fun.
Bye. Bye-bye.
The Scott Williams Show. The way it is in Dublin.